Okay, Sunday morning, learning to flow in the supernatural. We're still looking at church order part 9 today. The Lord's been teaching us the true church order. The importance of the restoration of the apostles and prophets in the body of Christ. The church, in my opinion, will not be able to accomplish what it needs to until everything is in order. When God saw the earth out of order, He put it back in order. We must do the same. There's a church order, a home order, and a ministry order. If the church is not in order, how can you teach the home order or ministry order? I mean, to me, the church is first. All right, we're going to look at our foundational scriptures first, then we'll get into the portion for this week. All right, Matthew 7. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, or liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus was trying to establish the doctrine also, the church here, I believe, when he said, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. A house on the sand will not stand. A church without a foundation will not stand. Okay, now Matthew 16. It's one of the first couple of things the Lord ever spoke to me about the apostles, prophets, was about the foundation. If you don't have a foundation, you just might as well forget it. A puff of wind could blow it down, and it has. Every wind of doctrine has blown it down. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, son of Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. See the rock, the house that's built on the rock. This is revelation knowledge. This is doctrine. This is God's doctrine. This is God's word for this day and this hour for the church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it's my heart's desire that we get this, and this message gets out, however it has to get out. Because how in the world, the church has not prevailed. We've let the devil pretty well overrun the whole earth. But it says here, if we had done it right, the gates of hell, it says, shall not. But then we have the ability to bind and loose. When things are in order, we can bind and loose. When things are not in order, you can do all the praying and the saying and all you want. But if you hadn't got the foundation, that's pretty strong. Maybe that's why we never fit anywhere. Maybe that's why we never seem to get anything anywhere. I've never seen much power. I've seen some hooping and hollering and running around. But I've never really seen anybody receive a miracle in a church service or anything like that. any real power. No, have not. Perhaps that might be the reason. Okay, Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Maybe that's why we never fit. A church that has apostles and prophets at its foundation, then the building is fitly framed to make up the house. Okay, Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you reckon that's probably the reason that Christians are usually the ones that kill their wounded? They're the ones that are always dissenting. They're the ones that if you can just, you can see it on social media. If some programmer, and they're all on the same side, patriots, most of them Christians, if one of them says something wrong, they attack him. Could it be because we've not unified? Because the church is out of order? Think about it. I mean, I've heard that, well, at least the left sticks together until I don't want to hear it no more. It's a slight on the body of Christ that we can't even get along. How many denominations do we have? I don't believe there's supposed to be denominations. I believe there's one body. Of course, you'd have to have many churches because there's so many people. But we're all supposed to be saying the same thing, right? Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He wants us to be unified. It won't work any other way. All right. We're going to look at a few scriptures here of biblical apostles. The first one is Peter, 2 Peter 2:18. I don't think that's the right scripture. Maybe it's 1 Peter. Let me look. Well, I just wrote it down, y'all. Wrong, y'all. Sorry. Well, I'll just name them. Peter, James, John. Those three. We're going to look at Paul. We know in Revelation that Jesus dealt with John concerning the churches of Asia. So we've already been through that, so we won't go through that again. But I want to hone in on Apostle Paul today. Let's go to Galatians 3. Hopefully I got that written down. I did have a few distractions this weekend trying to get things together. In fact, I had more to bring today, but it got kind of waylaid with company being in the house. So it happens. All right. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Verse 3, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So he is addressing, as an apostle, Galatians. They were overtaken. He said they were bewitched. They were the ones that were trying to do fleshly things and walk in the Spirit. It was kind of a mixture. All right, now look at 2 Thessalonians 3:14. It says that if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. We're pretty lax in the body of Christ today. You can see you have not seen the apostolic anointing taking care of things and putting things in order in the church. It's because they're not recognized for the most part. These particular apostles operated in spheres that God assigned to them. So Paul, being the apostle of the Gentiles, he was bringing correction. That's what these letters were to their churches. Telling them guidelines. What was he doing? Setting things in order. Okay. It does not mean that everyone liked them. I figure they're, you know, I believe of all the offices that apostle especially and prophet received the most flack. Because they're the church's foundation. The devil wants to go after the foundation. It's kind of like the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you go out the base of the roots, you've ruined the whole plant. You've ruined the whole thing. Same way with the foundation. Here's what we're going to see what Paul had to say about some of these things. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 16. Paul's talking about the suffering. His suffering for the Lord's glory. He said, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Isn't that what's been happening to us? I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. I heard that being beaten with rods, they beat their hands and feet till all their bones are broken. Just think about how horrible that would be. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness. beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Talk about the fugitive. That's the kind of life he lived. But he did it for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the church. Okay, we'll just keep on going. Chapter 12. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions, revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is he saying here? All the things that he went through, God's grace was enough. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind in the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Yeah. A lot of people want to stand in that place, but then you think and you look at this and you think, oh, it's a rough place to be. I remember when I first went on staff, the church that I worked at. I remember being warned by the pastor, you just might as well gear up. When you come to work here, you're going to have a lot of flack. And I did. In fact, it caused me to quit. It was intense. I thought it was intense. It's nothing. It's really nothing. But I wasn't used to anything like that. So when you're associated with the ministry, it goes through these kind of things, then you might as well expect some flack because it's going to come. Why? Because you're in God's will. You're in line. You're in line. He's not going to target someone that's not in line. We need to look at it the right way so that we'll have the right attitude. Okay? It takes a very strong person that is mature in the Lord to handle this office properly. Apostles must be choosy about words or prophecies from the Lord. Do they bear witness? Is it the timing? Is timing right? Prophets should not take offense once they deliver the word of God that has been given to them to the apostle. They have transferred the responsibility as a prophet over to the apostle. Then it becomes the responsibility of the apostle. If the apostle fails to act on the word, then it is not the prophet's responsibility, but the apostle's. See, I told you, they depend on prayer warriors and prophets. Because what does God do? God reveals to his prophets what he wants to do. They speak for God. What does the apostle do? He takes that plan and he puts it into motion, sees it through, gets things in order. Okay. Since apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church, then they work together, as I brought out a few weeks ago. It is also necessary that the prophets be those with maturity so that they can discern when to speak and when to remain silent. Prophets are even instructed in the church to take turns. In other words, not be so full of themselves that they must go on like they are something. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll read that. It is scriptural. And the spirits of the prophets, let's do 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So it was common practice to have several prophets in the services to be able to speak. But they were to take turns, wait on each other. See, what I see in this is that they're a team. This is a team of leaders to cautiously look over what God wants to do and make sure it gets executed instead of, I'm the top dog here. It's not about that at all. It's about accountability. It's about everything being done decently in order in the church. Not just anything and everything and all that going on. That's all I ever saw, was just a bunch of going on. Okay. I just see a lot of accountability here. The balance of the foundation gifts. The motive is not to exalt the prophet, but that God's message be received and implemented. Or to exalt the apostle, in that matter. There's a good thing that was said by Bill Hammond. A personal prophecy will always be partial, progressive, and conditional. You know, people take a prophecy and say, well, the Lord didn't do it. Well, they had a part to play in it. There's always, I think it was Brother Hagin saying, there's always a man's side and a God's side. Or God's side and a man's side. Maybe it wasn't him, I don't know. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Nobody has it all. They have a part. Just like I was telling you, there's others in the body of Christ that have pieces. That's why when you hear them, they're not saying what we're saying, but they're saying something different, but they have a different piece. That's why as that part of the body, we're not to judge that part of the body and what God's given them, we are to. Now, I'm not saying if they're speaking outside the Word of God, that's a different story, but I'm talking about we have different pieces of the puzzle, and we have different tracks that we're running on and different things that we're doing, plowing different fields, if you will. Okay? Prophecy should be judged just what we read in 1 Corinthians 14 before acting on it. When you've got a whole team hearing the prophecies, judging the prophecies, weighing everything before they make a decision, yeah. Have you ever seen this kind of accountability in any church you've ever been to? Not that I know of. I don't know. We can see how important the apostles and prophets are working as a team to keep the entire body of Christ in order so that God's will is accomplished. It is working as a team, not as individual hot dogs tooting their own horn. These are my words here. It's all about the good of the body of Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What are they saying here? Whatever part is needed at the time is the best. Nobody's out trying to outshine the other. They just are different. They have their different parts of the body. But he shows us a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So it goes on to talk about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit next. But God wants us to restore the gifts to the church, but the thing is, when we get the foundation in place and the love working, you can see where the body can move as a whole and work as a whole and be united. Like I said, because we don't even have the foundation down, how can we even be concerned about the other? See, that's the problem. So, anyway, I think that's going to be all for today.